filled it. He will.
It's the Skinny on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with the Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
You know, I got the Wednesday without screwing up over here, and I forgot to push the most important button, and that was the on button for the mic, and I finally pushed it. Good morning. Let's start over. Welcome into the Skinny on Sports. It is the Wednesday version of the show. Hope you're having a fantastic Wednesday. Jared Atha filling in for Skinny today. Aaron, of course, still out of town on his way, or I'm sure there, down in Georgia. I try not to bother anybody when they're on vacation, unless they text me or call me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know how when I see my phone buzz or something, but, you know, we're buddies, so I try not to step on his
vacation.
Have you
heard from him, though?
I have. I heard from him yesterday.
I mean, there's a lot of great food down there. He might already be in a diabetic coma somewhere.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of great food, and there's a lot of great food at Augusta. You know, there's always the popular food you always hear about. I'm just kind of like, and then another part of me is like, don't bother him. I want to get the full story on Monday of his trip. You know, everything. The travel, the food, the experience at the Masters, all of it. So I try not to bug him. We did converse yesterday. It was about work stuff, but I just want, tell me what you need done and put your phone down. Go do your thing. So Aaron's out. I'm Jared. I'm in his seat over there. That's Scott Garrison, the man sitting on in. Thank you again, Scott, for coming in.
Yeah.
Coming in, helping me out all week. I tell you, this show is, people think it's easy just to sit here and talk sports. It's not when you're by yourself.
I can see that.
It feels a little crazy just to sit here and talk to yourself.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you coming in. Yeah. It's like, you ever seen American Pie?
Oh, yeah.
And the dad is having his heart-to-heart with Jim in the closet or in the hallway. And he's talking about how, you know, it's not fun to throw the ball against the wall, right, son?
This is true.
You want someone to throw that ball, too, and throw it back, right? I mean, we know what he's talking about. Well, in this case, I'm talking about doing radio. It's fun to have somebody throw the ball back, Scott.
There you go.
I appreciate you. Hey, you can be a part of the show. Text on in, 580-225-9698. That's the Skinny on Sports text line. Appreciate all the input that we get, I appreciate all the funny comments.
Oh, yeah.
The stuff they say, sometimes people on the text line say stuff that, quite frankly, we cannot say on air, but we're thanking it, and they say it for us. I'm like, all right, I know. They know what we're talking about there. We appreciate those texts. You got any questions, text them on in, or comments. We love those comments, too. Text it in, 580-225-9698. A replay of the show, you can find it on kadsam.com. Also, just like us on our Facebook page, Skinny on Sports Facebook page. We throw a copy of that replay on there, too. Working on the podcast, there's been kind of a hang-up right there. But there's still two outlets you can find us. Don't forget, download the Paragon app. I've forgotten that part up till now. The Paragon app not only gets you KADS, it also gets you KECO, Cool 94. It's an avenue to find Paragon TV, pretty much anything under the Paragon umbrella. You can find it on one handy dandy app. That's the Paragon app. Download it and check it out. All right, Scott, how are you? How was your night?
Doing good. Enjoyed all the great rain.
It was kind of nice going to bed and just hearing the rain.
Yeah.
Just, you know, maybe a little claps of thunder. I would check my phone, make sure nothing was severe, and it wasn't. Just a nice, nice rain showers out there. I'm sure the farmers and ranchers love it. And I know my lawn loves it.
I know we needed it.
We need it, but I'm ready for some warmer weather. I'm not going to lie. This is the time of the year where I get a little antsy. I'm like, all right, I'm done with the cool stuff. Let's get to the warm weather. Not like sweltering hot weather, but, you know, warm enough I could wear shorts and a shirt.
Absolutely.
And be comfortable all day long. I'm ready for it, but I will not complain about that rain that we got last night. Hey, well, last night, good day for the Thunder. Speaking of Thunder, little thunderclaps. How about the Thunder looked a little dicey early, down as much as 20 points, but was able to come back and beat the Kings 112-105. And SGA is back. It took him a little bit to get going, but man, finished with a game-high 40 points on 11 of 21 shooting, couple three-pointers there, got to the free throw line 20 times, made 16 free throws. It was just, it was a real question mark, him coming in after, setting four games. What was he going to look like? Did he use that rest? Did it heal him up? I believe it was a quad injury. Did it heal him up, and is he ready to go for the playoffs? Or was there going to be some lingering effects right there? And I think the question was answered. The MVP candidate was big, and with the 40 points and able to get the win over a feisty Sacramento team. That's a team, even with a full 100% healthy Oklahoma City team, Sacramento has given Oklahoma City problems as of late. It's a matchup problem. Like Sabonis is good, Murray, Fox, they're all, Barnes. They've built their team really well in Sacramento, and for some reason or other, it's an X's and O's thing that the Thunder have had problem matching up with them. Last night was very comforting to know, but I say that was kind of last year. This year, I don't know the head-to-head, but this year it seems like Oklahoma City Thunder has kind of maybe figured that out. And we probably saw that in one game where they've really figured it out. They got down, able to chip away at it, come back, and pull away and win it 112-105. Big night for the Thunder, and especially a big night for SGA. That has to be so big for his confidence because, you know, when you come off an injury, can you trust it? Can you give it that 110% and not without the fear of re-aggravating an injury, sure, whatever it may be? He was trusting it, and that's a great, great sign for the Thunder. Standings look like this. A lot of shakeup. I say shakeup. A lot of playoff spots were secured last night in the Western Conference. Clippers are securely in. I think that was a conclusion a long time ago, but it's official. Dallas is in. They're still now, everybody's in top 10. It's just a matter of positioning, getting in and out of that play-in spot, or that play-in tournament. The Pelicans still a game ahead of Phoenix, or actually they took the game ahead over Phoenix after last night's results, with Phoenix losing. The Pelicans are now the sixth seed, so if the playoffs ended today, it'd be the Thunder versus the Pelicans. Phoenix now down in that play-in scenario. If the season ended today, they'd be playing the Kings. But I certainly hope Phoenix gets back up into that sixth spot. But again, by virtue of that win from Oklahoma City, they could do no worse than the three seed. The one seed is still alive. There's still a possibility of that. Minnesota and Denver still have to play each other. And you just heard it right here on the Morning Animals. I didn't know the tiebreaker scenario. Kerry kind of broke it down. And basically, if there is a three-way tie for first, Oklahoma City owns that tiebreaker, and they'll get the number one seed. Didn't know that. I don't know how it breaks down. I know how it does with Denver because of the head-to-head. They beat them 2-1. But Minnesota beat Oklahoma City 2-1 in the regular season, but there's some kind of third tier of a tiebreaker. Yeah. Not sure what it is. I'm sure if you know, text it in. Love to know it. But the more important thing is if they can get into a tie in first after Sunday, Oklahoma City is the number one seed. That's the way I heard it. So I could be wrong, but I believe that's how I heard it. I was scrambling to make a rundown here in some topics to talk about. So something to look forward to right there. Looking ahead, Spurs and Thunder tonight. Wemby, questionable. Might not play. Might not. I mean, I'm surprised they haven't shut him down. I mean, they're first team in the league to be eliminated out of the playoffs. Obviously still playing for the Rookie of the Year award. I think he locked that up too a long time ago, about the same time they got eliminated. I'm surprised they haven't shut him down. And if there's any injury concern, I wouldn't play him if I'm the Spurs, especially against a team like the Thunder who's still playing for a number one seed. So there's still something to play for the Thunder. I'd be surprised if we see Wemby versus Chet tonight. It's kind of a bummer when you buy tickets way back in, say, December for games in April, and you're hoping no one's resting. I'm one of those because I have tickets for Sunday's game, the very last game of the year. Part of me was like, hey, Dallas and Oklahoma City, they could be playing for something, like something big, like the number one seed big for the Thunder anyways. And I kind of hope that's still in play on Sunday. And Dallas, they're at the five seed right now. They're two games back from the Clippers for the fourth seed. So maybe still a chance for them to get into that top four where they could host. Hopefully, I'm hoping, I'm knocking on all kinds of wood, that Oklahoma City and Dallas on Sunday afternoon mean something.
Yeah.
I hope to see SGA and Chet and all of them and Luka and crazy flat earther guy. I hope we'll see them all on Sunday. I want my kids to see them. It's their first Thunder game. So I'm really excited that they are excited about this. So I want them to see the star power of the Thunder, but I don't think that matters to them. They're just going to be wide-eyed going into Paycom and checking out their first NBA game. Friday night, the Bucks play the Thunder on Friday night. And speaking of the Bucks, I'm sure you've heard about the Giannis Antetokounmpo. I can never say it. The Greek freak, Giannis, he injured his leg last night in a win over Boston. The fear was an Achilles, which would have been detrimental for the Bucks. Saying it's not that, it's still intact, but it's still a leg injury.
It's got to be an ankle. If it's not an Achilles, it has to be something in the ankle.
It has to be something or a calf, something like a strain.
None of those are good. Four to 6 weeks is a minimum on any kind of ankle, calf for a basketball player.
Right, but at least it's not a torn Achilles, so it's a matter of how fast he can come back. He's clearly not going to be 100% on Friday. He's another one of those guys, depending on where they're at. I mean, they're still a game ahead of the Knicks at number two. Knicks still trying to climb up, I would think. And makes you wonder if he'll even play. I say all this because the Thunder have, like I mentioned, the Spurs and Wimby probably not going to go tonight. The Bucks, will we see Giannis on Friday night? Will the Bucks hold him back? And then, of course, Sunday, the Mavs. I say all this because those are the next three opponents for the Thunder. And the Thunder wanting to win all three. Could the Spurs and Bucks help us out by not playing their stars and just conceding the game to the Thunder and setting it up for a possibility for the one seed? It's kind of exciting. So, a lot of score watching happening around the area. Denver, looking at their schedule coming up, they're ahead of the Thunder by a game. Who do they got? I knew it. The Timberwolves. And that is tonight on ESPN, 9:00. Sign me up. I'm going to watch up for clear.
Great game.
Great reasons right there. Clearly, that's going to help out the Thunder either way. And then they are at the Spurs on Friday, and they wrap up with the Grizzlies on Sunday. Minnesota, what do they got left? You got to click like five times just to get to their schedule. My apologies for not having this ready. I will not apologize for slow internet. At the Nuggets, like I said, Hawks on Friday, and then the Suns on Sunday afternoon. Suns could do the Thunder a favor. The Suns
could be a lot still going on in the last week of ball.
And the Suns still want to get out of that play-in scenario, that play-in tournament. They'd love to get in or get out of that, get back into that sixth seed. So still a lot to play for, I think, across the league. And a lot of storylines developing, I mean, as we speak, with the Giannis injury and what that means, for their chances in the East. Clearly, not going to get the one seed, they're so far behind, but a contender, obviously, in the East and in this league when you got Giannis. But if he's not
100%, if you don't have Giannis,
how much of a contender are they? Does it really matter, though? I mean, is Boston the clear favorite in the East, like heads and shoulders better even with a healthy Giannis? They did beat them last night, but without knowing, I don't know if Boston might have just rested their guys too, because they're like 50 games, it feels like, ahead in first place. So they're probably doing a little time management with their players. So there's a look at your NBA, but the important thing, SGA was back, and he was great last night. Looked really, really good. And as a team, really, it was not just SGA. Chet had 15 playing better, hit a couple three-pointers. Lou Dort was awesome, in my opinion. 18 points, hit three threes last night. And then Williams had 11 points for the Thunder. So good production all the way around. Isaiah Joe off the bench had 10 points, what you needed in a comeback win against a feisty Sacramento team. Very good for the Thunder. All right. Let's take our first time out. Before we do that, I want to say thank you to Scott Kelly and Superior Lawns. Give him a call. And if you're thinking it's too late to spray your lawn, that's okay, because he can come on out and do some other things for you, set you up on a plan to get your lawn looking its best, to get your turf game on track, to get you that lawn of the month sign in your lawn if your community does that, or just quite frankly to get those bragging rights. Give them a call, 580-799-5670. They offer weed control, fertilization programs in Elk City, Canute, Cheyenne, and in Sarin. Trust me, from what Aaron has told me and from what other people have told me, he does a great job. He sets up a great plan for your lawn. And, you know, if you don't think your lawn is important, it is. It is for curb appeal. And imagine one day you're trying to sell your home and someone drives by and sees a for sale sign on your lawn and that lawn's full of weeds. They're going to keep driving.
Sure.
I promise. That's the first thing they see in your of your house. I think it is your lawn.
Absolutely.
So give Scott a call and he'll help you out. Jared Athel with you. Scott Garrison helping me out on this. Well, will it rain again Wednesday? That's what I'm kind of wondering. And there's some rain in the forecast, but
it seems pretty nice out there right now.
Beautiful this morning. I'm kind of looking out that way, out our windows to the northwest. Some cloud cover, but I look back to the east. Some sunshine. You know, I even saw sunshine last night. Once the sun got lower underneath the clouds, it made for a pretty evening.
Yeah.
Hey, before the rain returned.
If it doesn't rain, you need to head out to the golf course today, because the new pros got some kind of a tournament deal going on with the par three.
Oh, kind of in sync with the par three?
With the Masters par three competition today.
No worry about...
I don't know how it works. I don't know. Don't know what he's got going on, but put $10 in. I think you pick one guy and you get their score and you get your score and win you a pot.
So that, okay, so it's like a watch party.
No, you play.
Oh, you play.
So you take your score.
Oh, I get it.
Plus their
the guy.
Score.
And then you hope. So I see.
Yeah,
that's fun.
And that's what we're going to do on Saturday and Sunday also. So it's real fun. Yeah.
Cool.
So, you know, I might be partners. I might decide that I'm going to be partners with Scotty Scheffler, you know, or Brooks Koepka.
Tipping your hand at your picks there.
Yep.
I bet you there's a lot of iPads and golf carts with the Masters on
at
the same time.
I guarantee you.
Playing, then maybe that. So does that alter what you do on the course? So say you pick Scheffler.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you need to really up it up because he's struggling, or you can let up. Like, oh, he's way ahead. I can let up a little bit. Or does it? Or
it's not going to alter what I do on the course. I'm just hoping to hit it straight.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you. I wish I'd found
this. I may
this.
Or may not have a lob wedge after a round Monday.
But you're not a club thrower, are you?
I didn't throw it. Something happened.
Snapped it.
Something happened.
Somehow it snapped.
And it, yeah, it's just not. No
Don't
longer.
Know what happened, honey. It just snapped.
Well, yeah.
I've it seen a bad. Guy, he didn't do it on purpose. He was driving. And I don't know if he was an experienced golfer or if he was just a novice guy who doesn't swing him a lot and was just using old clubs. But he, tell me if you've ever seen this. He's driving. Solid hit, actually. There goes the ball, and there goes the head of his club.
Oh, yeah.
And he looked at me with a wide eye, like, what did I just do? Well, that's ironically your best shot today. Now you can't do that anymore. You just broke your club.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Yeah, but I saw a thing where we're on the topic of golf, and we'll stay there. We'll talk about Masters coming up. But I saw a thing a buddy sent me about. It was this guy just giving this like testimonial, you know, on the TikTok. You'll see these guys just talk. And he was talking about you want two guys to golf with in your group. You want the guy that's going to follow every rule, that takes it very seriously, that overstudies every shot, all of that, dresses to the nines, all of that. And then you want your guy who just doesn't care, who's an okay golfer, who's losing balls more than he's hitting them in the fairway, and who's buying around every hole. He said it balances out.
The good, and the, good and the evil?
Yeah. He said, because it loosens the other guy up a little bit. And then it makes the guy that's stiff and that's, you know, it makes the other guy go, well, I kind of need to keep up here. I kind of need to take it a little bit more serious. But he says it balance, that, said, that's what you want. You want those guys with your group. And I tend to agree. I'm fortunate. I'll golf with guys, my buddies from, you know, high school and college, where they know me before how bad I was at golf, you know?
Yeah.
And they just enjoy my presence, and I enjoy theirs. And
there
we're just
go.
Out there hanging out, and I enjoy to go out just to enjoy it.
Yeah,
enjoy the weather, being out, being active.
You bet.
Could care less how I golf. And then a thing called Topgolf came around. I'm like, well, that's even better.
Yeah,
I can just stand here. They bring me food and drinks,
there
and
you
I
go.
Can hit it horribly all over the place, and I don't have to go get it. So, but no, I enjoy the sport. It's fun. Very novice golfer. If you're a listener of the show, you know that. But I enjoy it. Enjoy watching it. Enjoy this week, man. The Masters. It's here.
Yeah.
The par three, like you said, starts today. It sounds like weather-wise, it's all going to work out. There is some question about the weather tomorrow for the early parts of the round. But later in the day, I think it's supposed to clear up. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I think we're supposed to have some beautiful weather.
Hopefully nobody will be running for their lives like they were last year the trees falling down around
them. That was insane.
Them.
That was crazy.
Skinny, don't get hit by a tree, Look, Skinny.
Yeah, be aware.
Don't get hit.
But starting this week, the field looks great. They had the dinner, I think, last night. I saw some social media stuff.
I didn't even see.
Stuff.
What did they have for dinner?
Well, you know, John Rahm was the
right.
He was the what do you call that? The Masters of
Champ
or the Champ,
yeah.
And he picks the dinner. I know I've seen it. I can't remember it. I'm gonna look for the menu. And of course it'll take you. You know how they just show the menu card? There it is. There it is. There it is. Come on, guy, get up here. Okay. It's John Rahm.
Right.
I'm going to butcher some of these entrees because clearly there's a Spanish influence with this, which is cool when you get like when who was it? Hideki Matsuyama won it. You saw some Japanese influence dishes. This one, you're going to get the Spaniards dishes here. Let's see here. Tapas y pintos. Oh, my God. It's all in Spanish. It's all in Spanish. I'm not kidding. Maybe I can get a deaf or a breakdown. You're gonna have to look it up, man.
I'll look it up.
I don't know what it
is. So
but...
tell me while I'm looking it up, because you know I did go to the Spanish competition in high school for yeah.
You took Spanish class seriously.
Well, I didn't say that.
But you went.
But I did go, yeah.
Wish I had.
My Spanish teacher literally said, Scott, you're nowhere near the top 10 in my class, but you do have the best pronunciation. So, yeah.
They listened for that. They listened for that accent, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I had. I kind of just went in there and did my best and got out of the class, or I didn't even do my best. I was just there. Because I didn't take it seriously. I was a dumb kid. But I kind of wish I did to know, so to be bilingual. So
if you
find that, let me know. But
okay, so give me your top picks.
You want to go straight there to the picks?
Yeah, give me your picks. Who
okay,
you got?
Well, I will go, and I did some flipping around on this, but I will go with, I'll go from 3-1, or should I start with my dark horse? The dark horse, by the way, and I'm sorry if I didn't clarify this with you, you probably know, we go by the World Golf Rankings, and they can't be in the top 25 or 20. I can't. Either way, mine's not in either one. So, but I'll start with my dark horse. I went with Will Zalatoris. I keep hearing his name. I keep hearing his name come up in conversations and at different tournaments and stuff, and it just feels like he's a guy that could, I don't want to say surprise people, but it would not surprise people if he showed up there on Sunday. So there's my dark horse is Zalatoris. My number three guy will be John Rahm, the defending champ. I picked him right there because I think it's incredibly hard to repeat. I don't.
Absolutely.
Without in any sport.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, UConn just did it, I know, but in a singular sport like golf, I think it's incredibly hard to repeat. So I put John Rahm, but I do have him in my top three. My number two guy is actually the number one golfer in the world, Scottie Scheffler. Kind of in the same vein with Rahm being hard to repeat, he is the odds-on favorite, Sheffy is, to win this thing.
Absolutely.
I think there's a lot of pressure involved with that when everyone's betting on this guy to be the champ, so I put him at number two. And my number one guy I'm picking to win the Masters is Xander Schauffele.
Okay.
I picked him, and I always tell Aaron this when we're picking these, when I look at the Masters, I look at not style of play, which should be a big factor, but how they've recently done, kind of a bias thing, like a recency bias.
Right.
And he, this so far this year, this calendar year, has been pretty good. At the Genesis, he finished fourth. The Arnold Palmer, he finished 25th. Finished second at the Players, close to winning that one. Finished fifth last week at the Valspar.
Yeah. Yeah, he's playing great golf.
He's playing good, really good golf right now. That's why I always, that's where I always go with my picks. So I'll go with Xander Schauffele as my Masters champ.
Okay.
What do you got?
Did you pick Will Zalatoris for as your dark horse because he's going to be the caddy in the new Happy Gilmore movie?
Absolutely. Is that true? I saw that.
That's what I hear. That's what I hear.
If that we never really talked about that movie. If that movie is actually happening,
oh, it's going to be solid gold.
I hope it's in. I hope it's like, first off, don't try to recreate what the first movie did. I mean, keep it in the same spirit.
Yeah.
But don't make a carbon copy of the same movie.
Right, sure.
You know?
Yep.
Expand on the story.
Don't have him trying to get his grandma out of the...
Yeah, or, you know, is Shooter going to be the villain again? Would be fun if they have to, like, just hypothetical, like, they do a... Like, they have to force somehow Happy and Shooter have to team up in some way. And they don't want to, and hilarity ensues, you know.
Yeah.
But I hope they do.
Got to go to the Ryder Cup together?
Something like that. Yeah. Oh, that'd be fun. That'd be fun.
There you go.
That'd be fun. And they just, yeah. And they have to have a fight. You know, Bob Barker arrested, so he's not with us anymore.
Yeah.
But maybe Drew Carey could step in. But I liked how one of my favorite sports movies is Talladega Nights, because it stayed true to NASCAR, to the sport.
Absolutely.
It did,
yeah,
it with respect.
Did, yeah.
And you saw some cameos in there with the racers. So, hey man, you're my favorite racer, and it was Dale Jr. telling that to him.
Yeah.
I want to see a lot of cameos.
Yeah.
You know, these guys were talking about right here, you know, Tiger would be awesome. So
have
a Tiger cameo.
Yeah,
or
it would be something.
All the, you know, and even Tiger just making fun of himself, you know, like his past, you know, just make fun of himself, and you know, and if it's an Adam Sandler movie, so you know it's gonna be
gonna
silly.
Be goofy. Yeah,
you're gonna see his buddies in there, but I want to see some cameos from some of these golfers and their wives. So
that would be fun. Brooks Koepka's wife.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
But it would. I hope it happens.
So my dark horse is Dustin Johnson. I've always been a DJ fan. I don't know why. That's my dark horse. Not sure that he's taking the game as seriously as he used to and still should be, but we'll see what happens on that. Sam Green said Tiger could be Chubb.
Yes.
That would be good.
Like it just came out like that was like Chubb was Tiger's uncle or granddad or something.
There you go. Yeah.
And Happy never knew it.
So Dustin's my dark horse.
DJ?
Yep. Yep, Scheffler is my number one pick. He's just playing lights out. Last year, he was in the top two in every factor of the game except for putting, and he was out of the top 100 in putting last year. This year, he's turned that around a lot. I'm not sure where he's ranked in the top, but he is. I'm quite positive he's in the top 25 in putting this year. Scheffler's just playing unbelievable, and I hear you on the pressure, but pressure does not seem to bother him.
No,
it really doesn't. Koepka is my number two guy. I know most people won't pick him. He is definitely the villain of golf right now. I don't know. But dude can hit it a mile, and I mean, he finished second last year, you know, so. And then number three, John Rahm. That guy is taking it seriously and playing great golf as well. So We'll see. We'll see. I mean, if they come out and three out of the top five are LIV golf guys,
Yeah, that'd be a...
It's going to be interesting.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. Don't ever count Phil or Tiger out in this either. I mean,
no, they're way Phil's down finished. The list as far as the odds are concerned, but...
Yeah, but...
So was Tiger, I think, back in, what, 19? Mm-hmm. So...
Did Phil finish third last year? Something like that.
He made a run there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you think about Rory's chances? Rory, number two...
I think that guy's too much in his head.
Everyone will pick him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think every year, less and less people are picking him because... Of his past history on this course.
At his past, at the last 10 years history in majors, you know?
He's
got a day that he falls apart.
Yeah, I wonder when he gets past that. Last week he finished third at the Valero. There's one of those recent three things.
Three out of 4 days, he's the best golfer on the course.
That's the problem.
And one of those days, he's not in the top 20.
Right, yeah. Finished 19th at the Players, but has had issues on usually one out of out of the four rounds. So, but he is ranked second in the world, so he's always going to be in that conversation, and everyone's going to stop and watch how he does. You mentioned ball striking. I know Craig Humphrey earlier today with the Morning Guys, you know, giving his daily reports with them, talked about how this one kind of stood out to me how. You think of a guy who can hit the ball, who can drive the ball a mile and do really, really well. And he said that's not necessarily, and I think people know this now, but I'm new to this, so or paying attention to this. It's not necessarily it's not going to benefit you as much as you think on this course. It's your second shot.
Yeah.
So because that ball strike
that's
can really
why,
get you in trouble off on your drive.
That's why Tiger won in 19, and that's why Phil was in the running for it last year. You don't have to be the longest guy out there at this tournament.
No, that's why you're not hearing the names incredible ball striker. Not even sure he's in the field, but you're not hearing the big guys in this conversation. I think it's those guys, and Craig made a point of this too, it's those guys who are calm, cool, and collected and conservative with their game, knowing when to lay up. Knowing when to go for it, et cetera. How about local guys? Victor Hovland, any chance for him? I mean, is there any chance you think? I mean, he hits the ball really well, but it's his short game that's always in question. It's his chipping and putting's okay, but it's getting on the green in, say, you know, two or even three on long par fives. So any chance for him, you think?
Yeah, I think he's definitely capable. We'll have to see.
He's always a guy locally that we're going to keep an eye on. And then, you know, Matsuyama, you know, he's a couple years removed, still right there. I've always liked Tommy Fleetwood and his chances. Just looking down the list here, but I think we've narrowed it down.
I feel like the biggest thing for Tiger this weekend is just going to be, can he make the cut and play the full tournament?
Yeah, well, that's what everyone hopes. They want to see him. You know, they want to see him wear red on Friday, no matter what the positioning is. It moves the needle,
sure,
and it keeps people tuned in. And there, sometimes those novice fans just look at the standings, and they'll watch on Saturday. See, just will he make the cut? What's the cut line? What's he need here? And they're always watching him. And unfortunately, if he does not make the cut, I wonder if there is a little bit of a dip in viewership. I don't know.
I don't know if there will be
maybe
for the Masters.
Not for the Masters, but other tournaments that, you know, and other majors that he's in.
Yeah.
If he's not playing on Saturday, Sunday, they are they're tuning out. But not the Masters, though. You're right. Not the Masters. They will definitely stay tuned in.
All right, you ready for this? You ready for this meal?
Yeah.
All right. So to start with, they have six options of tapas or pinchos. So those are just kind of starters. The options are ibericos, which are acorn-fed Iberian ham-cured pork loin.
Good luck.
Idiazabal con trufa negra, which is some kind of cheese and black truffle. Spanish omelet with onions and confit potatoes, spicy Basque chorizo and potato, Mama Rom's classic lentil stew. Oh, he's bringing his own mom's stuff.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
That is.
I like that.
That is. Or creamy chicken fritters with confit potatoes. For the main course, Masters winners will get to choose between chuletón a la parrilla, a Basque ribeye steak with tudela lettuce and piquillo peppers, or rodaballo al pilpil, a typical fish dish from Basque country with turbo and Navarra white asparagus. And for dessert, the Masters champs will dine on milhojas de crema y nata, a puff pastry cake with custard and chantilly cream. Interesting. I don't know. I heard ribeye. I heard ribeye. So.
Very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jared Atha hanging out with you on your Wednesday, already halfway through the week. Scott Garrison over there helping me out. Appreciate you again, Scott. Appreciate what you do here. Appreciate what you do for the community. Garrison Financial, full financial planning. Shop the open market to bring the best value of life insurance and investments. Can manage your investments or charge hourly to build a plan for you to manage. Most of all, he likes to work with the client's accountants to streamline tax ramifications and returns. Scott at SoonerWealth.com. That's his email. You can go see him downtown Elk City, 124 North Main Street, or call him up 821-1219. Okay, before we talk about the draft, I mentioned we're shooting from the hip on this one, but if you were serving a meal at the Masters, like we just talked about John Rahm's meal, what would you serve? Would you go over the top? Would you be simple? What would you do?
I'm pretty over the top with all my food.
I had a feeling you were.
Yeah, I'm a pretty big foodie. Can't help it.
Okay, let's just start at the top. What's your entree? Or should we start with appetizers?
Appetizers, I'd probably make the citrus Italian shrimp that marinates overnight with the pancetta. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty
amazing.
That's
good.
I sent it to Skinny last year. I don't know if he's tried it yet or not. Sent that recipe to him.
Oh, you sent the recipe to him?
I did.
You know, somewhere we did this about a year ago.
I
can dig up because I mocked up, you know, the menu that they always, me and Skinny's menu. I'm going to see, and I think I put that on our Facebook page. I'm going to try to dig and find that and see did mine change? Oh, there it is. Perfect. That has to be Skinny's. Okay. All right, here's mine. You ready for it?
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, the appetizer will be some bacon-wrapped jalapeno poppers.
Can't beat them.
I haven't had those in a while, but that's where I'd go with the appetizers.
There's your weekend plan right there.
I think I found it. well, actually, my plan's going to be at the expo this weekend. My entree would be smash burgers right on the flat top. Grilled onions, lettuce, pickles, tomato, and my wife, and I know what you're thinking, like animal style sauce or whatever they call that at In-N-Out Burger. It's not the Thousand Island dress. Mm-hmm. She makes some kind of a sauce that she puts on these burgers. I'm not entirely sure what she puts. She's mixing something up and it's great.
And she doesn't tell you
what
it is.
And I've nicknamed it Alley Sauce.
And she won't tell you what it is. It's a secret.
She probably has. I'm just not paying attention. I'm just too, I'm in a food coma while I'm eating and everything's blocked out. I'd do the French cut fries. Cooked in peanut oil, by the way. Okay. My mom, she made this thing. I call it mom's cherry dessert. And it's like a layer of, cherries, graham crackers, whipped cream. There's some combination there. My wife makes it for me for my birthday. She got it from my mom. So I call it mom's cherry dessert. And that's it. So pretty simple. Well, let's see what Aaron said. This was last year, of course. Let's see what Aaron said. He went with appetizers, cheeseburger sliders, bone-in ribeye with mac and cheese on the side, bacon-wrapped jalapeno poppers, chocolate brownie, ice cream, and chocolate sauce. So it sounds like the dessert at Simon's.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
I don't think I'd change mine. Maybe, I don't know. I might elaborate. I didn't have time to think about this.
Yeah. I'll shoot you mine. You can put mine up there, too.
I need to. Yes. I need to do that for you.
Yep. So I'd start with that shrimp. Then for the main dish, yeah. I make a 3.5-inch porterhouse.
Woo.
Yeah.
Woo.
It's amazing. It'll feed 8 to 10 people.
The key to all this is you go with, it's kind of like where you're from. Like we just saw, you know, Rahm's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's probably in your mind like, okay, well, I'm from Western Oklahoma, you know.
Gotta have
maybe
good steak.
This year I'd probably do like catfish, catfish, you know, or calf fries.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you got, if you do both, then you got your meat and your fish. They can choose what they want.
Right. You know what? I think we might have a caller. I think, if this is who I think it is. It's not. Never mind.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was Aaron.
So, hey, tell me. I walked in today, and I said, what are your Cowboys doing for the for next season?
Mm.
Lost their offensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Not paying anybody yet. Appears that they're not gonna. What's the plan?
Well, I'll tell you what they're doing. Not a damn thing. That's what they're doing. I don't know. Now, who knows what Jerry's thinking? He's off his rocker, clearly. But I told you, and I'll say it again, is maybe something's going to happen on draft night. I got no intel on that. I haven't read anything about that. I know they've been labeled. I know RG3 said on ESPN that they've had the worst offseason. And it felt like last year they had a really good offseason. They were really proactive in the free agent market. In the offseason, drafted. They always draft well. I've never had a problem for a while now. Yeah, and they draft for need.
Their biggest problems have just been overpaying.
Yeah, that's been the problem. But this year, they have a need at running back.
Mm-hmm.
There's been talk about bringing back Elliott for some odd reason. Now, looking at the latest mock draft from Kiper on ESPN, as I scroll down to Dallas, they have them taking, which is not a bad pick, Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma, offensive tackle. A lot of people would be okay with that. He's kind of been hovering around that mid-20 area, and that's where Dallas would land. So, but that means they're holding with their pick. I again told you that maybe something will happen on draft night. Maybe they're not doing anything because they're waiting to make a splash on draft night.
What would be your pick if you could even make some trades, whatever you could do, what would you go after in this draft?
Well, I mean, offensive line is the need.
Yeah.
And Guyton would be because I don't know if he'd be the best left. There's going to be guys up above him. I'm looking at some other guys that could be taken before him. Olu Fashanu
from Penn State.
Penn State at 14. Talese Fayuga from Oregon State at 13 to the Raiders. From Alabama, J.C. Latham to the Chargers. Looking.
I'll tell you.
I'll tell you what
I would go with, and it's not even my Steelers' biggest need, because my Steelers need same thing. I mean, they need offensive line terribly. Mm-hmm. But number one, if he could fall far enough, would be Penix, even if I had to make some quick trades to move up to get him. I mean, that guy is
– You like him.
I think he's going to be a superstar. The way he commands the field, the way that he stays calm in the pocket, I think he's going to be a superstar. And then he'd get to sit behind somebody for the next year and learn the game and hopefully get more offensive line around him before he comes in. And so that would be number one. But number two, if I was going to do one thing, I would trade Freiermuth in some way, shape, or fashion to move up to get Brock Bowers out of Georgia. That guy
he's
is a generational talent and will barring injury, will be a superstar in the NFL.
Kuiper's got him going 10th to the Jets. I'd hate to see a talent like that go to the Jets.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Just because that program is cursed.
Well, like I said, I mean, hey, trade up to get him. I think he's that good.
Well, I wonder, again, what the Dallas will be doing. They don't want to trade up to get a running back. That makes zero sense. There's not one running back taken on this mock, at least so far, in the first round.
Yeah.
There's nobody been that good. There's nobody that good this season in this draft to go in the first round. And then the value of the running back. So maybe that's why they're thinking we can get a cheap running back somewhere.
And lots of free agents.
Yeah.
Lots of running back free agents also.
Again, so not sure what Dallas is doing. There's one little glimmer of hope that I have, or that little thing that I hope that they do. And I'll go on record and say it. I hope they trade Dak somehow.
Yeah, but what are you going to do? You still got to pay him.
I know. But do you want to win or do you want to lose in the first round of the playoffs?
You'll win all regular season.
Yep. Yep. That hangs the banners. Anyways, yep. We'll see. We'll see what happens. When is the draft?
A couple weeks, I think.
It is a couple weeks away.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. It is 15 days away, April 25th.
Mm-hmm.
Quick notes, quick hitters. I need a sounder for that, like a baseball bat. There was obviously no high school sports yesterday, outside high school sports yesterday, because of the weather. Elk City and Clinton were supposed to play. Clearly they didn't. They will play tomorrow at 4:30 over at Clinton. And then Clinton will turn around and play Canute at around 6 or 5:30, something like that. The Clinton-Canute game was on schedule. So they're just Clinton's going to play a little doubleheader. Elk City district game at 4:30, followed by that game versus Canute. Oklahoma, did you see the news yesterday? They'll be playing their first home game on a Friday night to open the season on August 30th. They said they chose to do that. One, ESPN asked them to move the game. Two, to combat the potential heat that could come on a Saturday game at 11 or 2:30. I'll go on record to say I hate this. I'm not a fan of it.
Not a fan. Why
not? Well, I know it's week zero. Not everybody in high school is playing, but there are some high school games. I know Al yesterday on these airwaves said they're doing this in enough time where those high schools can maybe push it back to a Thursday night game. A lot of people play on Thursday night anyways because it's coming up onto the holiday weekend, the Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, that's true.
So maybe some schools would do that. But I just think I'll be petty about this. A blue blood like OU should not be playing on a Friday night.
I agree.
But if it's a matter of getting on national television, then find us a place on Saturday night. You're not going to see other blue bloods play on a Friday night.
No. Alabama, Georgia's not going to play a game on a Friday
night. They're not playing on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's the perception of OU now, if the SEC is going to treat OU like they're Vanderbilt, why?
Well, they are playing Temple, Jared. I mean,
it's a Friday night. It's a Friday night game. It's stupid. I'm going to stand firm on this one. I don't like it at all.
Yeah.
I do not like it. I do. There's a lot of people who don't. A lot of people on these airwaves who have praised it after hearing the explanation for it. You know, Joe Castiglione said we could be on national television. We're not going to be in the heat. The last 3 years, we've opened up at 11 or 2:30, and it's been in the almost 100 degrees every day or every time. Last 2 to 3 years. I get that, fan safety and everything. But, I mean, if I wanted to go, I'd have to leave work early.
Yeah.
I know my bosses wouldn't like that. I know. So there are people who've gone for 30-plus years, have to give up tickets because of they just can't make it on a Friday night.
Yeah. Very true.
It's does that mess with recruiting because of high school football on Friday nights?
That's a good question too.
But
yeah,
whatever. I mean, it might work out, and I might be in the minority of this. But if you ask me right now, I don't like it. I don't like it.
I agree with you.
A blue blood like Oklahoma should be playing on a Saturday.
Yeah,
college football is for Saturday.
Yep.
And I'll end on that. All right.
All right. Hey, have a great week.
Hey. thanks for helping me out again today.
Yeah.
By this time tomorrow, the Masters will have started. Hopefully. I'm not sure about the weather over there. There might be a delay. I don't know.
Yep, we'll see.
We'll keep an eye on that one. And then we'll have some fun. We'll look at the Masters and we'll keep track of that and much, much more. Thanks for tuning on in. This has been the Skinny on Sports on The Animal. Take care.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.